With Forged in Foxborough, your New England Patriots have now put out truly one of the greatest pieces of Pats porn and Pats propaganda in recent memory. Oh, how we missed it so. So if we're actually going to talk about it, review it, and get a little behind-the-scenes glimpse, then who better to have on than one of the stars of the show and the original minister of Pats propaganda himself, my old pal Mike Dussault, now of Patriots.com. Fitzy, induced, forged by football and friendship on the latest Six Rings in Football things. Here we go.
Here we go.
Hey, whatever it takes, man. It's all about winning, all right? Winning on three. One, two, three. Win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Grover. All the way. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri boots a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
Somebody asked me, are you worried about what went wrong last year?
We so don't give an F about what happened last year. We are focused on the here and the now. Welcome to the latest episode of Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by WEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. Your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, at Fitzy GFY, alongside at Mike Dussault 19. That's right. The deuce is in the house. One of the talking heads, one of the stars. I feel like I'm around Patriots royalty right now.
Star.
Man, stop. You look good, guy. You look pretty good. Or as when I texted you after I saw how much FaceTime you got in the first chapter, otherwise known as Stop Vrabel Time. I texted you and you're like, yeah, I wish I knew in advance so I could have come camera ready. I'm in like a ratty old sweatshirt. I needed a shave. You look great, kid. You're right. A natural.
I mean, that's your job, Fitzy. I'm so used to watching so many like NFL film show where all of a sudden you pop up. I was just watching the other night. They did NFL throwback show with Rob Gronkowski, which is just career highlights. But I keep hearing your voice pop up. So maybe they should have gotten you for it. I don't know. But no, it was great. They put me in it. It was a lot of fun to be a part of it. But yeah, I was ready. Like, hey, talk about the Patriots. That's my thing.
That's the easiest thing. Like, you and I ever need an excuse or a reason for someone to pop a camera in front of our face and say, talk about the Patriots. You and I are basically, you know how they have, and not to toot our own horns, everyone, because we're here to talk about the incredible work that was done putting together Forged in Foxborough, episode one, Building the Patriots, streaming now at patriots.com. And of course, their YouTube channel and via clips that several other aggregators have ripped and shared on social media as well.
We love it.
I feel like, you know how there's that great seed bunker in like Norway or Denmark where supposedly like two or three of every seed of every plant and vegetable and whatever in the world exist in case there needs to be a reset of our planet and our species. I feel like you and I should be stored up there as well. Just in, like they should put you and me in a bunker in Foxborough so that just in case there's an organizational reset and everyone's like, but what happened of these Patriots over the last 60 years? Don't worry. Fitzy, Deuce, come out of your hole.
Talk Patriots. Season? Input season? Discussion?
All right. So now as we saw, as we saw all of these clips, and there was a lot of content shared about the New England Patriots behind the scenes of the draft, the Senior Bowl and more. And we just thought it was basically the organization's way of slowly helping us get to know Mike Vrabel, understanding Elliot Wolf's new position, just some glimpses behind the scenes as the organization tries to stamp a new engaged, tougher, as we hear several times, tougher, more violent face to things. I didn't know that basically what we were seeing from the time Vrabel was hired all the way up until the release of this first episode a couple days ago basically was like this was the groundwork for episode one, which comes in at a whopping 73 minutes. When you heard the first episode was going to be coming out mid-spring, did you have any idea that it was going to be longer than any episode of Andor that it was going to be like a borderline, like at 75 minutes, I think you're considered a feature film. Like this was for everyone looking for this, the goods, Mike, I would say on that front, this delivered and then some in abundance.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it goes back to when Vrabel first arrived here and the content team met with him and, you know, discussed what we'd like to do. Look around what other teams around the NFL are doing. A lot of this behind the scenes access stuff is very popular. That's what the Eagles do. I mean, they put out pretty much a show, one of these every week during the season. So, you know, thank you to football for giving us the access. I mean, in full disclosure, like they interviewed me. I'm going to give you a quick spin around, cause this is where we did a lot of the interviews here. We're in the belly of the beast right there.
Nice.
That chair was where they had me sitting, but, so they did the interview with me, and then I didn't even know what it was going to be until a couple days ago when we saw it. Actually, Friday morning was when I first saw it. So we knew that they were getting lots of access, that we had a dedicated team that was really working hard on this. And so it was always kind of in the background. And then, you know, Friday morning we got in, hey, we're going to do a screening. I should have known it was going to be long. They had like 17 bags of popcorn coming. I was like, oh, we're going to be here a while. But it was awesome. A lot of fun.
You had an intermission to go outside and grab a cigarette if you needed to.
The smoke break. Right. But, you know, I always go back to the football life that they did with Bill on the 2009 season. I just love that stuff. I love seeing behind the scenes. I mean, to see the coach talking to the team pretty much in any NFL team, but, you know, specifically for our team, it's just really cool, awesome access. And, you know, love being able to provide that for the fans, giving them a glimpse behind the scenes of, you know, this new team that they're putting together. I think you get a pretty good sense of it.
Yeah, so much of what you know and love about the Patriots will still be on display, but this is an entirely new way of doing business. Even though for those in the know that were around Vrabel who are familiar with the people that he's brought into or back into the building and the Josh McDaniels of the world, it's funny. They're going to be doing what we know and trying to deliver the goods that are very familiar, but kind of like aggressively repackaged. And I think this is also... I won't say an effort by Team Kraft and to filter out the lousy taste that the 2024 season and basically this decade has left in the mouths of Patriots fans and season ticket members. There have been certain missteps along the way with other pieces of content, hires, etc. And this is not like Mike Vrabel presents such a strong. I always say like he just wakes up with a. And the first four letters out of his mouth every day are DGAF. Doesn't give a fuck. This is the way we're going to do things, and I hope you're on board with it. And I think that's very refreshing for a fan base that, while, yes, bathed in riches, the luxes of victory, the spoils of two decades, has had a little bit of a rough road the last couple of seasons. And now this is a confidence instiller in episode one of Forge and Foxborough. So let's get into it. So basically, like I joked earlier, the first third of the episode, I counted it up when I was watching it. The first like 21 minutes and 10 seconds is all focused on Mike Vrabel. That could have just been an episode entirely of itself if they decided to come out in like standard issue 22 minute television length episodes. The first, it could have just been like the coach, because there's all the footage of him playing and then the press conferences and talking to Karen Garigian. What an incredible relationship they have. How did you feel about how much, and of course, so much football hardo guy stuff too, with like, he's in the penny at practice. He's working on technique on the stage when he's meeting with everybody. Like,
yeah.
God, does it, like, if you forgot how much it's okay to love football, Mike Vrabel will remind you in those 21 minutes or less.
Yeah, I think that's what's front and center. I mean, for me, that's my favorite part of the whole thing, was just really the behind the scenes with Vrabel, seeing him talk to the team, you know, just his whole philosophy. And I think that's what's shining through in this documentary. And even when we've interacted with him, when we saw him on the practice field a couple of weeks ago, we're going to see him out there again today. Is
OTAs, that's right, man.
OTA today,
baby. Voluntary OTA, baby.
So, you know, he knows what he wants to do. And I mean, look, you're right. Look, it's before back-to-back four win seasons. It's been a lot, you know, going wrong here around the last couple of years. But what's apparent to me is that Vrabel knows what he wants. He knows the kind of program he wants to do. And he's coming off with this energy of somebody who, took a year off and, you know, maybe necessarily didn't want to take a year off, but made the most of that year and has really refocused and, all right, this is how I want to do it. This is how I want to talk to the team. This is, you know, when I want to do this. So it's just a guy coming in who has a complete plan. I would assume that Bill Belichick was similar when he came here in 2000. You know, it's look, I've done this before. I made some mistakes in that first stop, and now I'm going to refine my methods and really try to make this the place where I have my most success. So for me, that first part was the best part. I just love seeing that footage of him talking to the team and really setting the tone for the season. And I think you're right. It's just, it's kind of clears, it's like carte blanche now. It feels like, all right, you know, this is a start from zero and this guy knows what he wants to do. Everybody get on board with throwing what happened last year out the window.
Yeah, I mean, that's why straight up that within the first minute of the show in that very great, like almost Hard Knocks style, minus the Hard Knocks music, like a hearing, like just, you know, I love that whole speech. I don't want to share the whole thing. You've probably heard it on the radio. You've seen the clips across your socials. But when he's just sort of like, you know, we've heard about getting entitlement out of the building. And he just goes on and on about wanting to find people that love football and wanting to be a tough football team. Yeah. You know, you don't care how I got here. I don't care how you got here. We don't care about last year. We don't care about anything about except for like what you're going to do in the here and the now for this football team. So by the time the first couple of minutes get done, you're like, okay, all right, I could use that disposable mobile brick wall to have someone put it right in front of my face so I can Kool-Aid my way through and get into the season. then we get to know they bring Josh back in a little bit, nice little Terrell Williams feature. I'm excited about what he's going to do for the defense. We get to know that there's a section later on about the draft picks, but I thought it was interesting how much time they spent allowing us to get some insight into the scouting process. Cameron Williams is featured heavily. Sadly, he's no longer with the football team. He's moved on to another position with another franchise. But you meet a lot of these guys and you see the travel they put in, the time they put in, how the scout, like they're willing. They're really, I was surprised how much access they gave us, Deuce, and how willing they were to open the door and show you like, not only how the sausage is made, but you know, how everything, like we're talking like what they plant in the ground that the pigs get to eat and how the pigs get treated and where the pigs get to sleep before the pigs even possibly become the sausage. And one of the picks everyone's so excited about, I call him Timeline King because there's always new content on my timeline every day in a positive capacity about what a good person he is and what a great player he might be. That little snippet of scouting Kyle Williams, which I'd like to share now, was very interesting.
Receivers, it looked like they did a lot of one-on-ones. I thought of that group in general. 11, Kyle Williams had the best day. Thought he had a good blend of athleticism and feel. Picked off his release.
Is he good off the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, beat him twice.
Yeah. Get up top of routes, caught the ball well. Size showed up down.
It's interesting. Like these guys meet in the, like they travel together. They're always talking, comparing notes before the Senior Bowl, East West Shrine Game. Like it's and they said that they love it. It almost seems like it makes a lot of sense. Like the way Vrabel loves football, these guys have to love football just as much to all to add into the lump sum of putting the best team on the field possible.
Man, I don't want that job. Man, I don't want this guy. They are on the road constantly. I have, you know, so much respect for the grind that it is for these guys who eventually make it up to the GM positions, and you don't realize that they spent their whole 20s on the road, you know,
right?
Not with families, not with going out, with writing up reports and spending time in restaurants and hotels and all that. So love that part about Kyle Williams. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd say me and Lazar were so jealous because you hear about the video team that's shooting this, getting all this access. All right, we're going up to the suite now. We're going to get to hear them break down all the prospects and meet up. And they're like, oh, God damn. You know, we want to hear that too.
Yeah.
But Kyle Williams, you're right, Fitzy. He is just universally praised. He's a guy that I think you heard Mike Vrabel say it on the phone call to him, that he made a lot of positive impressions on people within the building. And I mean, I can confirm that just with talking mm-hmm. to people here that – Just Kyle Williams, just his personality. He just has that magnetic kind of sense about him. I also wrote a feature about him, talked to his college receivers coach as well as his high school coach. And, you know, everybody just has such great things to say about Kyle Williams. I'm really excited just to get to know him a little bit. We heard from him a couple of weeks ago for the first time from the podium. But, you know, as we get going here, we'll get to hear more and more from him. And certainly a player I think everybody should be really excited about. Somebody we were excited about that had that speed that we were hoping they would add into that wide receiver room that was already running like 10 guys deep. What else are you going to add? I think Kyle Williams is a worthy piece to add. Excited to see how he's going to fit in.
Yeah, and you get a chance to see Steph Diggs and hear from him as he talks to Robert Kraft, and you see him hanging out with Drake May.
Good to see him there. Good to see him around. I mean, I love that as a fan, to see him around and taking it in.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's neither of us as a medical doctor, a ligament specialist, nor have we ever played one on television. But, you've probably seen some of the footage of Steph Diggs and the way he's been working out and what he's been doing. Like, does that look like somebody who tore the most significant ligament in their knee 6 months ago? My God.
No, I'm
just starting to get excited about seeing him back sooner than later. And then what an impact he'll have on a guy like Kyle Williams, Deuce.
I think, like, look, I mean, Steph Diggs always, you could tell he was super competitive. I mean, as a Patriots fan, it used to bug you because you just, the guy would kill you. It's like, all right, 3rd and 8, we got him. And it'll be like Stephon Diggs running this little perfect route and Josh Allen put it right in his hands. But I think what I'm seeing is that intensity that he plays with on the field, you're seeing that reflected in those videos that he's doing to get back ready for the season. And he's pouring that same competitive drive into his rehab process. So I don't know how it's all going to play out. I'm always kind of a sneaky fan of like having that guy you can stash for a little bit and be like, well, he won't be back till October. I mean, ideally you'd love to have Stephon Diggs for the whole season,
right.
But I don't think it's the end of the world. If it gives them a little time to, you know, work with some of the other guys, let Kyle Williams get some more reps, maybe let some of the younger receivers who break through in camp, depending on who those may or may not be, you know, give them some more time. So I think they're in a good position, but yeah, as soon as Stephon Diggs gets out there, it's going to be really exciting to see him out there in a Patriots suit. I mean, kind of a relief, honestly, like, because every other time you went against them, you knew he was going to be
just ate your lunch.
You.
Like on the Thursday night game on Amazon a couple of years ago, where Mac Jones famously said to Matt Patricia, like, the quick game effing sucks. I remember being down on the field as we were going to do something at halftime. And Josh Allen threw a 45-yard pass to the corner of the end zone that was on a tether wire. And Steph Diggs' feet were in the perfect spot. His arms were like, and John Jones had him blanketed. And it was still just, he's an absolute surgeon. If he comes back at 80% of what he's been previously and can have a positive impact as the alpha, the leader, the teacher in that wide receiver room. And I love that in Forge and Foxborough, when you get these behind the scenes clips of like, he's super nice and engaging and charming as hell, but then you can see that I'll slit your throat competitive mentality as well. It's great. I always love hearing like the Logan Mankinses of the world just say like, yeah, it's just like you're able to turn the competitive gas on the stovetop on and then you just turn it off. You want to kill somebody and then you want to just go hang out with them. It's awesome.
That's Diggs, man. That's what they need. And you know, I would just say, in that room was up and down last year. You're going to get a guy in there that is just a tone setter who everybody's going to look to and be like, this guy's done it at a high level. He's the one that I hope is going to set that tone and bring, you know, help those other guys kind of, especially the young receivers who, you know, a guy like Kayshon Booty going into his 3rd year. I mean, had a good year last year, took a positive step forward. What's it look like with him now? He's got a mentor a little bit in Stephon Diggs. And, you know, so I'm excited to see the impact he has on the locker room there.
Yeah, me too. And I love that you get before you even get into getting to know the draft picks, as you get a long peek, a long look inside the draft process. Then we get into free agency. Nice little clip of Milton Williams and his family. Everyone's obviously kind of hype about the idea that Barmore seems to be healthy and trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
So now we can have a dominant defensive line all over again, which was very important when Bill Belichick revamped the Patriots 25 years ago, having those guys up the middle. Now you got Barmore and Williams. You used to have the Ty Warrens and obviously Richard Seymour's and whatnot. So we hearken back to the past. There are some hallmarks of what was so successful and what worked for them years ago as well. Then we get into getting to know the draft. Mac Hollins makes a nice little cameo.
Barefoot.
Barefoot as well. I have a film. Yep, that's just how he do. Another high character guy we're all gonna love. Then there's a large portion of time spent, albeit as Andy Hart pointed out on the radio show, not many mentions of the short arms and the debate therein about, could Will Campbell fit in there? But I think that's because as you watch Fortune Foxborough episode one, they were so dialed in on this kid. They were so in love with Will Campbell right from Jump Street that, you know, short arms be damned, they were going to get him in there because he had the right mentality, the right makeup, the right composition, and the right attitude. And then when you hear clips like this, you understand why he like graduated cum laude from Vrabro University.
He sure did.
You have to love violence to be able to play on the offense and defensive line. And that's something that I like. It's a dog eat dog world. Whenever you're going out there, it's either you or him.
It's a dog eat dog world, Deuce.
I got to get my Will Campbell impression down. I think I could work on it a little bit. You know, so it's, I think it's there. I got a little Bobby Boucher. You know?
Yeah, right. A little Sling Blade, a little Bobby Boucher.
We'll get it down.
A little Mama Said. You probably just have to have a little more Rattlesnake for dinner and you'll be fine. Sure. So a lot of time spent on him as well. I mean, like, I think the thing is, yeah, well, first, we're in an interesting age now where all, like, in addition to, first, it just used to be Hard Knocks. And then there was Hard Knocks in season. And then there's Netflix with receiver, quarterback and receiver. And now all these teams produce this content as well. And now ESPN has The Kingdom, which is the six-part 2024 Chiefs behind the scenes thing. I'm going to love the way that one
ends. They're already doing a six-parter on the team. What?
All right. Do you feel like we're almost at like a glut of BTS football content, or can you never get enough?
Well, for Patriots, I don't mean, you know, the other teams, I'll take it when it comes, but I'm not searching it out. But you're right. I mean, I think this is what fans love and what fans want. And I mean, again, to reference The Football Life, when that came out, I think it was probably like 2011 or so. I mean, it was, you know, a year or two later after they had taped that whole 2009 season with the Patriots. I mean, that to me was one of the greatest things I had ever seen. Specific to Bill Belichick at that point, it was like, you knew how he talked to the media, but you knew that there was a whole other side of him talking to the team. And you saw that side in the documentary. So I don't know if it's as necessarily exciting, because I think the way that Vrabel kind of talks to the team is the same way he talks to me or he talks to anybody, you know, that's kind of just the way he is the whole time. But at the same time, that this is, you know, this is the final frontier for fans seeing behind the scenes how these guys are getting ready. And, you know, just one thing I'd say on Will Campbell too, because I heard Andy say that yesterday. And I mean, look, no question, people like us spent the whole spring talking about that. I just wonder how much time did the scouts really spend talking about that? Like, the number comes in, they probably go back and check it, but it's probably not a daily debate about, like, what are we going to do about these arms, guys? You know, like,
the wingspan is 2 inches short. Obviously, everything we've seen on tape is a lie.
I mean, it's probably two conversations of, all right, his arms are short. You know, does this show up on tape? Is this something we think we could work around if it's going to be an issue? No, we still feel good about it. We love the kid. I mean, they've been following him for 4 years. They didn't suddenly find out 2 months ago that his arms were 33 and something inches and, or I'm sorry, 32 inches. Jeez.
Right. 32 and 5/8.
You know, it's like, oh my God, we got to blow everything up. So, and I did think they put the knot in there. And I think it was Kyle Williams said, like, not bad for a short arm guy from Louisiana. So they put a small nod to it. But I understand, because especially people like us spent the whole spring talking about it. And it's like, well, where are talking points? Why aren't they in here? They're not talking about the same stuff we are. But it is what it is.
I didn't really leave the episode for want of like, oh, I wish they focused more on this guy, or I wish they talked, but that's what happens when you get like Hard Knocks is 45 minutes long per episode. Now they usually do like five, maybe six to get you through training camp and into a season.
Yeah.
I don't think most people know how many episodes of Forge and Foxborough they're going to be. Do you have any, is it, what do you think?
I believe three. I'm not 100% sure on that. I know there's more to come for sure. And I think it's a three episode total. Okay. But yeah, I mean, for me, like, I think off season is great to see that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, the real rubber meets the road when you get to training camp. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think Hard Knocks is always such a slam dunk. At least in theory, sometimes it doesn't quite deliver. Sometimes we get into these like sideshows about like the, you know, the family left behind. I'm like, I just want football. But, you know, right. I think that's the stuff where you're seeing players compete, you're seeing guys earn jobs or lose jobs or, you know, significant injuries. It's like, that's when not the season starts, but the real, I feel like the front office has to be on their toes. The coaches have to be on their toes. It's not like, you know, at this point in the offseason where we like this guy, we're all in, yeah, all right, we're going to get him. Let's get, you know, it's a little more slow pace where you get to training camp, things start happening that you don't really have power over. So I'm hopeful. I don't even know I work here, but I'm hopeful that that's, you know, that that's the stuff that, that we'll get into. And I'm sure it will be, you know, as we move forward, just the football's been great with the content department and, you know, really been a great partner with us. And, you know, we're just, we're trying to make the team and the players look great and give access to the fans and all that stuff. And I think that's what we're doing.
Oh, hell yeah. I can imagine if there are two other episodes, one will cover the spring getting down to mini camps, OTAs, proper OTAs, all the way up to June until everyone gets to go home for 5 weeks to have a micro summer before they show back up in mid to late July.
Let's go micro summer.
The training camp. Yep. It's a cruel micro summer.
Can't wait for mine.
And then they'll I imagine episode three will probably be actual training camp in through the preseason. So you'll I can see it being a trilogy, like everything that went through the hiring process, not even looking to last year. That's why Vrabel says, why do I give an F about last season? Like, we're not going over Mayo. We're not revisiting the misgivings of Belichick and why Robert Kraft, whether it was a mutual decision, if there was a firing, no one cares. That has all been debated and legislated at this point. Yeah. It is just about focusing on how do we turn the ship around? How do we put the best people on it? How do we make it the strongest and the best ship possible and get sailing again? Any other moments or players or bits stand out for you? Like how much time Elliot Wolf got and what a presence he really seems to be?
Well, that I think to me was what was probably most interesting of it. I mean, I enjoy the Vrabel stuff, but we've had so many conversations about how's this all going to work with the front office, with, you know, Vrabel coming in, with Cowden and bringing him in, and Elliot Wolf still here, and, you know, that scouting staff, a lot of those guys were still here as well. So I thought it really did a good job just showing a little window on what that relationship is like, which, you know, to be honest, like, I think we paint a picture on the outside of, like, you know, Cowden and Vrabel, like, who's this Elliot Wolf guy? Like, you know, like, these guys all know each other. Like, this is pretty common for how it happens in football teams, that, you know, there are guys from previous regimes that, you know, stick around. And I mean, I'm doing a little thing right now, Fitz, on 85. You know, we're the Patriots super fans. So they can now wake me up out of the box to talk about the 85 season. I literally went through and watched the TV broadcast of every game of the 85 season. It was a 2x speed, to be fair, but I watched them all because I'm going to interview a bunch of the guys. And, you know, I knew that season, but you see it even there where it's, you know, the coach had just left. Raymond Berry had just come in. They had some holdovers, both on the coaching staff. Dante Scarnecchia was, you know, hanging around. So
young Scar. Oh, man, that sounds like
special teams who, by the way, I don't know how much you remember about the 85 Pats, probably nothing like I did before I rewatched the whole friggin' season. But so Patriots-y from the last like few years where it was really good defense, timely special teams plays, timely turnovers, and the offense would just keep running into the brick wall until the fourth quarter when the other team was like, all right, we're sick of you guys running at us. Now you can run. And then they would, they finally put points on the board in the fourth quarter. But little side story. But the point remains just that this is how the NFL kind of works. I thought that that relationship, and you could see that they have a little dynamic going, was really good, especially for shows like yours where there was so much debate of like, you know, they want Elliot. Well, these guys, they want their guy. You know, all that kind of debate stuff.
Right.
I think they showed a pretty good working relationship. And Elliot Wolf's a really experienced guy who knows a lot, and Cowden and him go back. So, you know, I think it seems like it's coming together nicely as far as the doc showed us.
Last season, there was an overt effort, it felt, from the organization to say, hey, we're almost apologizing for the nature of the beast of the last couple of years. We felt very inaccessible. We had a rugged exterior thanks to the coach, you know, and as relationships were sort of deteriorating or devolving. So it was like, oh, fewer hard-ass vibes. We're taking down silos, collaborative environment. Now it's not just Vrabel's not telling you, you know, it's always show, don't tell, which I think is very important. And it's interesting that as this new era of Patriots football, which will be unique in and of itself, sets sail, it'll still remind you of some of the many things you love, from whether it's the 85 Patriots, the 78 Patriots, all the way through many of the best Belichick years. But a show like this never happens during the Belichick era, which I think is kind of fascinating. So there's one of the ways that Vrabel will remind you of Belichick, but will also be his own man. As Ted Johnson often says, the coach that he most clearly resembles from having played alongside him is Bill Parcells. Yep. Has anyone in the building said there are some Parcells vibes again?
Not not specifically to me, but honestly, I'm actually reading the Bill Parcells biography right now because, you know, he's going in the hall this summer. So I figured it'd be a good time to read it. Great book. And I agree. I mean, I think a lot of, you know, that sharp tongue, that way of, you know, a little comment, a little joke, a little jab that gets the guys and gets the message across. I think Vrabel's, you know, really good at that. And I think last year you saw a lot of reaction to being reactionary to what was before. And I don't think you see any of that now. I think you see right now a new head coach who wants to put his stamp on the team. And like you played in the clip, he doesn't give a crap about what happened last year. He's going to make this Mike Vrabel's team. And, you know, to me, just having watched the rookie mini camp a couple weeks ago and now getting ready to go out here in a few hours, everybody talked about how Vrabel, you know, was just so involved with all the different drills and guys and everything. And that to me is just, he's putting his stamp on this team. This is going to be a Mike Vrabel team. This isn't going to be a Bill Belichick team. This isn't going to be a Gerard. This is going to be his team, which is all you can ask from any head coach that's going to come in that knows what he wants to do and is immediately putting his stamp on things. And I think that's what Mike Vrabel's done. And I think we'll only continue to see that over the coming weeks as we go through OTAs and minicamp and eventually build up after our brief summer break there, the summer hour we get off for training camp.
A 1,000,000%. And as Forge and Foxborough episode 1, Building the Patriots presents, it is a new era. There are things that will remind you of what you love about the New England Patriots. But at the same time, yeah, he will say what he wants to do. He is very heavily involved. And so I think trust is being rebuilt. The bridge is being extended between the organization and the fans. And I think the fans are starting to come en masse to that bridge and come back over. And when they watch this, they get more and more excited to a point where, as you and I have said many times, it's more fun to talk about Patriots in the offseason than it has been in a half decade. And now when you watch something like this, it's more than just a sneak preview. It is a legitimate bite. It's a full taste of what this is going to be like. And with two episodes to come, it makes you more anxious to get into the OTAs and the mini camps. And then take a break and have that micro summer and then get full on into training camp and LFG and all the preseason games. I think this is setting up to be a thoroughly satisfying investment by the fans, not just in the season, but everything Patriots, because you and I know being a Pats fan isn't just a part-time job. It's a way of life 24/7, 365.
Yeah, it's coming together to be such an easy team to root for. I mean, we've had the opportunity on Patriots Unfiltered to get almost a weekly guest for, you know, one of the veterans. We had Jack Gibbons last week, you know, just stops by. Not something we've ever had before, but just gives us an opportunity to get to know these guys a little bit better. And just the number of guys who are just fun to talk to seem like normal dudes. But also, when you go and you look at how these guys play the game, Mike Vrabel's got a type. They play with their hair on fire. You know, Robert Spillane, I think, is going to really turn some heads in training camp once he comes out with that black visor on and you see this madman running all over the field. I don't think fans quite know what's in store for them. I mean, really, none of us do. And everybody wants to say, what's your record? What do you think this year? I'm like, I don't really care right now, but I just think this team, it's going to be a football team. They're going to be tough. They're going to play really hard. I think they're going to be really hard to play against just with the number of guys that they've got in there. I mean, start with Williams and Barmore right in the middle. Barmore's good to go, and Williams, that's the start of it right there. Those guys are going to be terrors, and it's exciting. I'm excited to get out there today. There's a renewed energy, no question, and it's all coming fast, man. We're almost 2 months away from training camp, and then it's straight through to February.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Once again, Patriots.com or the Patriots YouTube channel or the many clips that have been aggregated and shared across the socials. Make sure you set aside a little time. Like we said, it's chunky. It's significant. It's lengthy. It's funny thing is the first episode of the behind the scenes heading into the 2025 season is longer than any Super Bowl video. Do your Josh 1, 2, or 3. Like it's amazing. But that's the thing. Like, This is a more than a peace offering. It is a buffet of football goodness and Pats porn and propaganda that should get everybody fired up for not just the season to come, like you said, which I think is going to knock a lot of socks off, but also just the entire process. So sure you guys, go ahead. Last thing is
signing more to come. You know, so just from the content team of, you know, getting access and being able to share stuff like this with the fans. I was a pure fan once. I'm still a fan, but I kind of work here now. But that stuff to me is the greatest stuff. So more to come for sure.
More content to come for sure. Little clips, little snippets. Make sure you tune into Deuce and the crew. Perillo, who looks a svelte Paul Perillo, no less, too.
It's fading away.
I know. the ghost of Perillo, the legend of Deuce, and so many more on Patriots Unfiltered, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 12 to 2. And, of course, their beautiful faces featured in Forged in Foxborough, Episode 1. Once again, we are grateful and thankful that one of my longest Pats pals, Mike Dussault, at Mike Dussault 19 from Patriots.com, joined us today to talk Episode 1, Forged in Foxborough. No definitive release date set for Episode 2. I'm sure the content team is already hard at work with whatever they've filmed, edited, have been putting together for Episode 2. My best guess would probably be sometime between post
micro summer.
During the micro summer, like late June, early July, to satisfy your football appetite keep it that whistle wet for when actual training camp begins later on in July. Then we'll probably get an episode at the end of preseason before kickoff. And man, Sunday, September 7th, 1 p.m. Raiders and Patriots. Isn't that a great kickoff game, by the way, since we didn't talk schedule together? Yeah. That is a kick-ass kickoff game.
I love it, especially I'm just off, watching, of course, the 1985 AFC Divisional round where we took it to them. So, go check that game out on YouTube.
A
doozy. It's a doozy.
I know. I have face full of Ashton Jeanty, Geno Smith, and Pete Carroll, and Max Crosby versus Will Campbell. You want to find out how their moms is doing come fall? Mama said, I got to block the toughest and baddest man in the AFC.
Right out the gate. Let's go.
Right out the gate, baby. Let's go. All right. You know where to find Deuce. You know where to follow him. Episode 2, Forge and Foxborough, likely in your micro summer sometime soon, but lots to savor and enjoy and review, analyze, and appreciate in Episode 1 currently on the YouTubes. For Deuce, this is Fitzy. Thanks for listening to the latest episode of Six Rings and Football Things. We'll be back later in the week. As always, plenty more to share in our relentless effort to be your favorite hang and Patriots fan community. Take care, everyone. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Go Pats.